Welcome back to Just Saying. I'm Julio.
This is Shyler.
And you are here with us once again to Just Saying, Not Your Dad's Sports Podcast. A reminder to go ahead and follow us on Twitter. Yeah, I'm giving you the outro and the intro this time. I'm flipping it over, you know, upside down on its head. Go follow.
Almost feels like it's opposite day or something.
Can that be an official holiday?
Opposite day?
Yeah.
So if I say today is opposite day.
I'll petition for opposite day.
Okay, but if I say that it's opposite day, does that mean that it's not opposite day?
Hey, it's opposite day. All right, let's not get too carried away with opposite day. But seriously, go follow us on Twitter at Just Saying Podcast. That's JUSSAYIN Podcast. I didn't mess up this time, so take that. And today we got a lot to talk about. Also, don't forget to listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere else that you can listen to podcasts. Shyler, what do we got going on today?
Oh, we got a lot going on. So some big news broke today. It's been rumored for a couple of weeks, but it became official, signed into NFL law. There will be a 17-game NFL season for the first time ever in the league's history. This is the first change to the season length since 1978, so it's been quite a while. Roger Goodell had some interesting comments and thoughts about how he sees the season going in terms of fans and stadiums. We'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson, from hero to zero. A lot of allegations out against him. We will dive into that a little bit. And then I'm going to switch gears from the NFL, talk about basketball for a little while, because I don't know if our listeners are really paying attention, but the Lakers and the Nets are trying to sign everybody in existence and just build, you know, forget a super team. They're trying to build mega teams, or we got to come up with a new phrase for it or something, because it's ridiculous. But we'll get into that a little bit later. I also want to apologize if anybody heard some squeaks during the rundown of that. I've got my dog right next to me playing with a chew toy, and she just figured out where the squeaker is, so she was having fun with that. Oakley, she's getting big, and she's getting what's the word? Not annoying, but she's becoming a nuisance in some ways. But that's beside the point. She's a cute puppy, so we're going to give her a pass. Julio, your thoughts, 17 NFL games this year. How do you feel about it?
My first reaction to that is, what's the point? What does one game do for you?
Okay, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of things that it does to benefit the league. I don't think there's a lot that it does to benefit the players. So I can talk about that when it's my turn, but I want to know, I mean, are you excited about it? Are you disappointed? What do you think?
I don't know. I want the best season possible. I think the less games, the better, because the players are in better shape. I don't know if I would say better shape, just less potential for injury. They're playing less, so I guess they're not as tired come next season. More longevity for players. I'm more towards, I don't feel like an extra game of another Sunday is gonna affect my enjoyment of the season. I don't really see the point of it. From the league's perspective, I agree. Maybe, well, I don't know if that's comes in with a deal. Is that what a TV deal, if that's their reasoning? But I don't think that should be the NFL should be, obviously it's a business, they need to make money, but you got to focus on the players more than the business side if you want to continue to have the success you've had so far.
All right, I agree with a lot of what you said. I did look into this a little bit. So the ability, the league has had the ability to implement a 17th game for a few years now. It's been a part of the collective bargaining agreement set up by the Players Association and the league owners. And so there is definitely a TV deal that comes with it. And I think the NFL decided to exercise that option after this past season, because they did lose a significant amount of revenue due to COVID. No fans in the stands.
Yeah.
They had to spend a lot of money on contact tracing and new technologies and things like that to make sure that the players were safe and the season could go off with as few hitches as possible. But you hit on a couple of points that I hadn't considered. The first one, you said you like to see good football. Obviously, everybody likes to see good football, but that got me thinking. I love baseball, but I love playoff baseball when there's a lot more on the line, a lot more at stake. Right. You know, each game in a series means something because, I mean, 162 MLB games in 1 year, I mean, it's fine if you miss half of those games because, I mean, quite frankly, there's so many. But in the NFL, I think one of the beautiful things about the sport is that every single Sunday matters so much in terms of playoff seeding, you know, what's aside from playoff seeding, draft order. I mean, there are a few things that you know, get determined based off of your rank and record at the end of the season. And fewer games means higher margins for error, or sorry, smaller margin for error, you know. You really got to be able to execute in those finite opportunities.
Yeah.
So I think that, I mean, as a fan of football, I'd be fine with it being played, you know, 52 weeks out of every year instead of 16 or 17. So I'm happy to see another season, another game but in the season because – oh, go ahead.
But see, that's what I'm saying. All right, let's say you got an aunt, right? And your aunt makes the best apple pie this side of the Mississippi. If she made 50 pies in one day, do you think each one of those pies is going to taste as good as if she made one or two or three, even five pies that day?
I don't. And that's why I agree with you. I think, you know, in terms of the competitiveness and the desire to watch the game, the fewer the games, the better. Because, you know, like I said, you know, smaller margin of error, you really got to execute in every opportunity that you get. But right. As someone who just enjoys watching football, I mean, I'll catch myself, you know, clicking through YouTube and an old Steelers game will pop on and I'll watch, you know, the 2.5 hours of the game. Just because, genuinely, just because I enjoy watching football. I love the sport.
What a waste of time. The Pittsburgh Steelers games.
No, it's like I said, I enjoy it.
I would understand if it was the Patriots.
This guy, actually, speaking of the Patriots, just passed March 28th, big holiday in New England. They celebrate the comeback over the Falcons, 28-3 victory, or 28-3 lead that was blown. Led the Patriots to another Super Bowl victory. So shout out to that. But no, I think that. That 17 games, as someone who enjoys watching football, is fantastic. I think that you got to think about player health in terms of, you know, a guy who's in the league for 15, 16 years. You had a 17th game to the end of each season, and that's essentially one more season of wear and tear on that guy's body. So, you know, how do you factor that into contract negotiations moving forward? I mean, do you argue that you're doing more work now that there is a 17th game? How are statistics compared? Is it going to have to be on a, you know, this guy averaged, 97 yards and 1.2 touchdowns per game during the 16-game era, and this guy, you know, averaged 95 yards and 1.4 touchdowns per game in the 17-game era? I mean, those comparisons are going to be difficult now because they're simply like a 1,000-yard season for a running back or a receiver is considered a good season. But I feel like that's going to be much more achievable with an extra game. You know, you get 100 yards and that brings you over that horizon that you're trying to get to.
It's one more game.
One more game, but I mean, think about it. I mean, some players have
100 yards. You get 100 yards the last game. I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. You get 100 yards.
One guy has 1,000, one guy has 1,100.
Right, but I'm saying for guys, because 1,000 yards is kind of like a benchmark, like that's a goal that you want to reach as a wide receiver, as a running back, whatever it may be.
Right.
So if in 16-game seasons for the last 4 years of your career, you were able to get to, you know, 890, 955, you know, close but no cigar, that extra game is going to push you over the edge and, you know, again, that might factor into contract negotiations, or you have a guy who's been elite his entire career. You know, he plays for 10 years in the league and averages 95 yards per game. At the end of his career, he's going to have nearly 1,000 extra yards totaled for his career. in that 10-year span. So I think there are a lot of implications. If you figure, yeah,
that's not
10 years with one extra game.
That's not going to make or break your legacy, though. 1,000 yards?
It's not, but when you go to compare careers, you know, this guy versus this guy, it's going to be something
you think 1,000 yards is going to make a difference?
I think it could. I think it's just one of those, like I said, unforeseen things that you got to think about when you make changes to a schedule like that.
That's what I mean. Like, it's such a minuscule change, in my opinion. I don't think it'll really have any. I think players are just mad because they don't want to play an extra game and risk getting hurt that extra game. What we'll see in the NFL is an adoption more of what's happening in the NBA of, how do they say it, load management.
I hear you, but you also got to consider that there's no increase to the total number of games played. It's just competitive games played because while there's 17 games in the regular season, they've dropped down to 3 games in the preseason. Like I said, competitive versus non-competitive. Yeah.
You can't compare preseason to a regular season game.
That's true. But I mean, it's still, you know, a guy will tear his ACL or, you know, dislocate a shoulder in a preseason game on just like a fluke play. So it's still something you got to consider, I guess. But I mean,
that can happen at training camp or at the facility, you know?
Exactly. I think
in the game, your chances of getting hurt are way more than. I would be interested to see that statistic.
You know, I'd be curious. We'll have to wait and see. But overall, I think good move for the NFL. Kind of like you said, what's the point for everybody else? Because the NFL is going to make a boatload of money with TV deals for that 17th week.
But that's what I'm saying. We shouldn't think of the NFL and the NFL players as two separate entities.
But see, when they separate themselves between, you know, the owners and the Shield and the players and the Players Association, it's difficult to draw that line.
Right, but it's because everybody has their own agenda, you know?
Exactly.
The players want their money. They want their health. The owners just want the money. The league wants the money. I'll be damned. So it comes down to, like, is the NFL not – I mean, we can't say they're not considering the health because they're definitely doing a lot of things to protect the players, especially offensive players. I don't think this is a move with that in mind.
I hear you. I think it's a move that kind of replaces your eyes with dollar signs. I think that's definitely the motive here. I'm sorry, did you have a final comment on that one?
No, I was going to segue into the same topic. I think you are.
I think so, yeah. So just speaking of, you know, eyes on the dollar sign, Roger Goodell made an interesting statement today saying he truly believes that there will be full NFL stadiums in the 2021 NFL season. We're going to be just a year and a half or so removed from the start of the pandemic. And by the time the 2021 season rolls around, and Goodell thinks that we're going to be back to full capacity in stadiums. I mean, depending on the stadium, that's between 60 and nearly 100,000 people in one confined space. What do you think about the logistics of that, the probability? Is he full of it? I'm curious.
I would say Roger Goodell is one of the most influential people in America. Football is America's sport. I'm sorry, baseball. You're America's pastime. Football is America's sport. So he has a lot of influence, a lot of money, a lot of resources, people who can research for him. How can you be such an airhead to make a comment like this?
That's the thing that I'm thinking too. I mean, by all means, say we hope to have, but not we expect to have.
Why would you hope that?
I mean, I would hope to have full NFL stadiums because if we have full NFL stadiums,
you would?
I mean, I feel like, yeah, because I feel like if we have full NFL stadiums, that means that we've come very, very close, if not completed the task of getting past.
That's realistic, though.
I agree. It's not realistic.
I would love to have $1 million. That doesn't mean it's just going to happen. We got to look at this situation objectively. And I think that's what's caused this thing to go on for so long, is people keep either politicizing this thing or they economize it. That's not what it's about. This is a public health issue. And you're talking about having over thousands of people, tens and thousands of people together. And I just think it's such a, like, even if we should, I don't know. Even if we could, I don't think we should.
I hear you, and I have to agree with what you're saying. I think it's a very tone-deaf comment from Roger Goodell. But like I said, I think had he said, "We hope to have," I have no issue with it. But because he said, "We expect to have," that's where I have a problem. Because you can be hopeful and, you know, hope that the plans to get all adults vaccinated by, I think it's the end of May, you know, we, you know, hope that that plan comes through and hope that the vaccines are effective. And if that's the case, we'll be closer to herd immunity and it'll make sense where you can have a full NFL stadium. That'd be great. Realistically, I don't think that's possible. So, like I said, I think it's tone deaf. I think that it's risky if the science and the data doesn't back it up and support it. But I think that the Texas Rangers opening day is going to be an indicator of how realistic this might be, because Texas is saying, you know, mask mandate's gone. We're going to allow plenty of fans in stadiums. We're going to get back to normal. So this is a great test to see how our vaccine program has gone thus far and how, you know, how the NFL season could play out.
I think it would be a huge mistake.
I have to agree. I have to agree. I think it's a mistake, but I think it's something we kind of got to wait and see.
I don't care. Hey, listen, I'm right there with whoever wants to get back to normal as soon as possible. But in no way, shape, or form do I think anybody should be in a large gathering of people for until next summer.
All right, now say hypothetically,
I don't care.
Say,
I don't care what
leading up to the NFL season, not a single positive. Oh, I'm sure you heard that bark by Oakley there, so right. Sorry about that. But assume that leading up to opening day of the NFL season, not a single COVID positive case has shown up in 2 months. Super unrealistic, hypothetical. At that point, do you say it's okay for us to have full stadiums?
No.
During the season?
No.
Really?
Because, listen, 500,000 people have died. Okay? So for you to base or put such a large public, that's millions of people across the country, to put that amount of people at risk potentially after looking at data for a 2 month period, something we've been dealing already for a year. I can't make that make sense. A year from now, or even 6 months from now. Okay. 6 months from now, we don't have any positive cases. We're following protocols. Okay. I'm optimistic about that. Let's open up at 25% or even 50%. Okay, now we're at a year where we've had zero. Okay, now let's move to 75%. Okay, now we've gone a year and a half now, zero cases, and we're doing better. Okay, now let's try 100% and let's keep a close, still masks, still social distancing as best as you can, and to keep a really close tab on how things are looking. Then at that point, that's the way we're going to beat this thing. We can't rush it.
So I hear what you're saying, and I agree with a lot of it, but I don't think it's realistic. I think that things are going to open up faster, but this is definitely not a podcast to negotiate or debate, you know, the proper way to handle the latter half of this pandemic. I think the NFL has got a lot to figure out when it comes to this pandemic. I think one NFL player in particular has quite a lot to figure out. Julio, do you want to introduce this one?
Wow. You are the transition master. Can I just say
that? Yeah, I try.
Anyway, yes, we're going to talk about the unfortunate situation Deshaun Watson of the Houston Texans finds himself in. According to reports, I'm sure you've heard of this. It's been on ESPN, a lot of news networks too. 20 lawsuits filed against Deshaun Watson, 18 assault lawsuits against Watson, potentially 24 potential claims of some sort of misconduct. I'm not sure if it's of domestic abuse, sexual of origin. I'm not sure 100% on that, but pretty much, I'm pretty sure it's all women coming up. And I'm curious because, one, obviously the timing of... Now, before I say anything about this, because this is a very sensitive subject. Obviously,
it is a sensitive subject. Absolutely.
Obviously, anybody who comes out and has a story to tell of some sort of abuse they face, obviously, every person who makes that sort of claim should be taken at face value. The first reaction shouldn't be, well, maybe you're lying. Obviously not. But I do think we need to look at things objectively. Take a look at the evidence. We're not gonna say Deshaun Watson did it. We're not gonna say Deshaun Watson didn't do it. But I just find it very curious, the timing of it and his situation in Houston before these claims started coming out.
So I hear what you're saying, and I align pretty well with what you said for the most part. I think that the timing for Deshaun Watson and all of these allegations is interesting, but I don't think that the timing should take away from the legitimacy and the validity of any of these claims against him.
No.
Because at the end of the day, first of all, Deshaun Watson, innocent until proven guilty. But these claims need to be taken seriously. They need to be investigated properly with an unbiased group of people who, you know, conduct the investigation. We don't need a room full of Texans fans.
Yeah.
You know, handling this case. And I think with so many coming out, I think that there has to be some truth to at least some of them. I mean, sure, there's the possibility that maybe some people saw that a bunch of people are doing this and, you know, all the news around Deshaun Watson, they said, oh, let me hop on the train. I doubt that's the case, but of course it is a possibility that you have to consider. But what a situation Deshaun Watson has found himself in, whether he's gotten himself into that situation because of his actions, in which case, shame on him. I mean, that's absolutely despicable. Or if it's all nonsense, I mean, then it's, you know, it's an unfortunate stain and tarnish on what could otherwise be considered an excellent career. The bottom line is we simply don't know if it's all legitimate, if it's all fake. I'm sure it's a combination of both. But like I said, you can't take away any of the validity from any of these claims. Every single one, all 20, I think you said, 20 or 22?
Maybe 24.
Every single one, including some that maybe haven't come out yet that are going to come out in the near future, needs to be taken with absolute sincerity and with all seriousness in respect to the situations. So I think that, like I said, unfortunate situation for Deshaun Watson to find himself in, but we got to simply wait and see, find out what happens. Hopefully it's not true. I would hate for that to happen to all those poor women. But I mean, the world we live in today, you truly never know who is capable of what. So, we'll wait and see. Sad story to follow. Unfortunate.
And obviously nobody's going to touch him now.
Oh, that's exactly right.
Not until this is figured out.
No, with a tarnish like this, they're going to wait and see. Similar to what I feel like a lot of people do with Antonio Brown, they're going to wait and see, you know, how does this whole lawsuit play out with him? And then we'll start entertaining the idea of signing him to a team. So, Deshaun Watson, you might be stuck in Houston a little bit longer, despite your best wishes.
And it's really unfortunate, you know, it's a tough situation. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes right now. I hope he, you know, I can't take a side, But I hope it's not true. I'll say that.
Absolutely. I hope it's not true. And like I said, Deshaun Watson, he might find himself in Houston a little bit longer. Other athletes around the NBA, on the other hand, are finding themselves migrating east and west.
Can we just get a round of applause for that? That's 4 of 4 transitions today.
Hey, I'm, like I said, I practice.
You're on fire.
7 hours a day, 14 days a week. So work real hard at it. But no, seriously, there's going to be some new real estate purchased in the New York, New Jersey area, as well as
Brooklyn,
in the Southern California area.
New Jersey doesn't have a basketball team anymore, Schuyler.
No, but New Jersey is close enough to see. You're not very familiar with New York the way that I am. New York, New Jersey, they're, you know, neck and neck. So
Brooklyn?
A lot of people will live in. Oh yeah, a lot of people will live in Jersey, but yeah, half those players don't live inside the city. Inside one of the five boroughs.
I wouldn't.
No, definitely not. Go somewhere quiet where you can avoid the hustle and bustle, and you can walk out of your house and go get a cup of coffee without every single person you pass on the street trying to stop you and get an autograph.
Just the traffic would be brutal.
Traffic as well. But nonetheless, the Nets are out in Brooklyn building a super team.
What do you think about that?
So are the Lakers. But that's typical of a LeBron James run team. He tends to build a super team wherever he goes because he can't win championships without it.
So people are losing their minds right now in the NBA world because of particularly the Nets. Not so much the Lakers we're hearing, but we're hearing more of the Nets. And I think understandably so, because you know, LeBron is up there in age.
Do we have to teach you this
and he's got Anthony Davis, granted. And they went and got Andre Drummond. But obviously the Nets are better than the Lakers at this point. I don't think...
Oh, when you look at in terms of firepower,
roster,
absolutely.
Yeah. I'm just saying in roster, they have they have Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving.
Kendrick Durant.
They have Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden. Not to mention role players like Joe Harris.
Is Blake Griffin?
Now Blake Griffin. Now LaMarcus Aldridge. So it's sort of like, do people not want to compete anymore?
I don't know. I feel like the NBA has become such a who's who. And a social sport more than anything else. It's like, oh, we're all friends. We all like each other. Why don't you come to my city where I've already got this guy and this guy and this coach. And, you know, I've got my, you know, my reach is extending here and here. And I've got influence here. And why don't you come over? We'll get you a nice fat contract. And we'll go win ourselves a championship. And, you know, there's not really much you can do about it unless there are, you know, rules in the game changed institutionally, but I don't know how you would implement that fairly. I think that it's unfortunate because I feel like, like you said, do people not want to compete? I feel like the competitive nature of the NBA is kind of gone, and it's more so become a who's who of the league. Who can get more stars on their team and which coach can figure out how to manage those personalities to get them to the promised land.
And I mean, like, they didn't let Kobe Bryant and Chris Paul played together back in 2011.
They didn't let them?
No, they vetoed the trade.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But how can you do that and now you let Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden get together?
Not to mention Blake Griffin.
I mean, Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge, let's be honest, they're not who they used to be.
But they're still more than competent.
They're good. They're not great, but still, like, just from a player's perspective, if I'm at the park, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna pick the best players available, no doubt. I agree with that.
Of course.
But at some point, you don't want to. You're in high school and you're playing a team of fourth graders. You're going to find enjoyment in that game. even though you
exactly.
win.
Exactly. You're gonna smoke the competition. But I mean,
like, how long is that gonna be fun for?
Cruise control? Exactly. I don't know. I like to live in a world where these athletes who make it to the professional level, baseball, basketball, hockey, soccer, football, whatever the sport is, I mean, they get there because of their talent, their dedication, their tenacity, and their competitiveness. That competitiveness, I feel like, is the sharpener of that sword and combines and connects all of those other attributes. And that's that competitive nature is what gets you to the next level. And I mean, I'm curious to see if players start to get complacent and some of these great players, you know, are not what they could be, not what they could have been.
Why do I have to work so hard to be great if I can just go get two or three other good guys and we win a ring?
Exactly. That's exactly.
I don't have to do all the hard work. You know,
I don't know. It's unfortunate. I hope that there's a way to stop it, because I mean, this seems like it's.
I mean, the league has to step in at some point.
Otherwise, it's going to become a serious problem.
And then people try to make the argument like, oh, all teams have the opportunity to go and get players.
Stop it. Get some help.
Stop. Okay. Stop it. Like LeBron James in free agency is going to decide to go play for the Utah Jazz.
The Hornets, yeah.
Like
one of these small market teams.
They're not going to have a chance. Nobody wants to play in Indiana or Cleveland. You know, and it's... I don't think the league will do anything, though.
I don't think they'll do anything because I think they're seeing a ton of money coming in.
Yeah.
From this. And I think that, you know, like we mentioned earlier with the NFL and the possibility of full stadiums, dollar signs rule all. So if that's what's going to happen in the NBA, you know, hopefully we get, I don't even want to say fewer superstars, but hopefully we get, you know, a more even balance of player talent, because I feel like without the NBA stepping in, the only way for the competitiveness of the league to return is for everyone's talent level to be somewhat equal. So it becomes a matter of, you know, who wants it more, who's better coached. No more are the days of one star on the team and a few role players and, you know, which team is going to work together to get there. Now it's, you know, we've got five all-stars. We've built an all-star team. And that's just our starting five. And we're going to win a championship. And what are you going to do to stop it? I think it's unfortunate.
You got to know. Like, you got a ring, but you didn't earn that ring.
Absolutely.
You won, but you know that's not a sweet victory.
No, it's cheap. It's easy. And you think about it. I mean, these guys made it to the highest level you can reach in their respective field. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I feel like this complacency that you're talking about is different than the way that they've acted their entire lives. I mean, they've had to be, you know, intelligent, vicious on the court. You know, they've got to be the smartest guy on every court they step onto to get to where they're going to be. They got to be the most athletic. They got to be the most talented, the guy who wants it the most to move forward and get to where they've gone. So to see that kind of regression, or at least perceived regression, from the fan side, sad to see in a league that had so many, still has so many absolute monsters playing the game.
I mean, that's like if Michael Jordan went and joined the Bad Boy Pistons back in the, like, can't beat him, join him. We would have missed out on that legacy, that greatness, if he had the same mentality as the players today.
No, that's right. And I think you summed it up perfectly. It's this, if you can't beat them, join them. And I think that if you can't get your friends to stop listening to the Just Saying podcast, you might as well just join them too, because I mean, we're bringing quality content week after week.
Day after
How about
day.
That transition there?
Day after day on Twitter.
People just got to understand that this is the podcast they want to listen to.
Listen, if you want to go listen to the PC, to what the network supports, or what they got.
Yeah, you want to listen? You want to watch ESPN? Disney Channel owns ESPN. You want Disney Channel? You want the House of Mouse, Mickey and Minnie, to give you your sports news? Absolutely not. You want it raw, unedited, unfiltered, real. You got to come to the Just Saying podcast to get it.
And with that,
let's close it out.
There we go.
See, I saw you were setting me up. I saw you were setting me up. See, it took me a second to realize it.
We got the off. You caught the alley, though.
Hey, I tried. So, yeah, no, we're going to wrap it here. As always, thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. We appreciate it. Make sure to listen, first of all. Tell all your friends. Second of all, follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Spotify. Make us part of your weekly commute to work, your gym workout, your commute home from work, grocery store trip, wherever you listen to your podcast. Listen to us. The bathtub. We don't judge. It's all good. So follow us on Twitter. JUSSAYIN podcast. And see what it's all about. We try to post each new show right on Twitter. Super easy, you know, click and follow. And then get in the conversation with us, see what we've got going on, see, you know, what we're talking about, what's going on in the world of sports. I don't have anything else to say, so I'll say see you next week. As always, thank you for listening. Julio, any final words?
Yeah, I mean, talk to us on Twitter, man. We want to know what you guys think. We want to know what you guys want to hear. What you guys want to talk about. You know, the Twitter's kind of dead right now. We need to liven it up, people. Go ahead on that Twitter, and even if you disagree with me, say something. That's okay. I can take criticism.
Absolutely. I'll get into Twitter beef with anybody who wants it. and trust me, you don't want it.
You really don't. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
We will see you next week.